The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Fidelity Bank Bahamas, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance. If you feel like you can't down the same issue.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago. So glad you're here today on radio 96.9 AM on a beautiful Monday afternoon. I'm having some back again. Side, not yet, but it is for you. So if you can, so you can join us. If you want to get any of the numbers, 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 3-5-4-3-6-3-2-4-3-1 or 3-2-4-2-9. That's 542. You text us on 224796. That's 4224796. So you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. That's 4393043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Apologized to me the other day. Tell me, say she's sorry she missed the show them a couple of days because she was, out of circulation. That's all right, ma'am. You can do what you got to do. I'm going to mention your name anyhow. You can also, I don't care who got vaxxed. You can also listen to us on Flow TV 612. That's Flow TV 612. So let me give you the lay of the land. Today I have some special guests with me for the first about 20 half hour minutes of the show. And then we go on to talk about some stuff. Yeah, some things, some issues for sure. In 1984, having graduated from Hawkesbury High School on the island of Grand Bahama, I got a pilot club scholarship to the College of the Bahamas to study chemistry and biology toward an associate's degree. And I went there fresh from Grand Bahama, of course. Nassau was kind of like a intrigue for those of us in Grand Bahama because it was the city and, you know, there were lots of tall tales about Nassau, both good and bad and ugly, or good, bad, and ugly. I went there, got settled in to the College of the Bahamas, found my way living on the dorms at the College of the Bahamas with a bunch of students from the Family Islands, had a very dynamic situation there on the camp, on the dorms, and I went to my classes, ended up running for president of the College of the Bahamas Union of Students, and became, you know, somebody more inspired to participate in leadership in the country. And I call the College of the Bahamas, in terms of my adult life, the place of my beginnings, because it laid the foundation for a great deal of the direction and maturing, the relationships and friendships I would get and perspectives I would have in so many areas. And I have been indebted to the college all these many years. Of course, now the University of the Bahamas, where I have the privilege, the honor to serve as the executive director and senior policy fellow at the Government and Public Policy Institute. Well, those of us who have called that place educational home be alumni of the place. And so some of the alumni are here to talk to us today. Ashwinika Bo with us today. I don't see her. Ashwinika, are you there?
Good afternoon, Mr. Lai. I'm sorry, she hasn't joined us as yet.
Okay. Just making sure. Y'all almost scared me just now, man. I saw Troy and I see Madam Pinda and I see you, but I wasn't quite sure. I was thinking, is this the right group?
My apologies.
You're no problems, man. So we do have some alumni with us and to talk about some stuff going on. Go right ahead, Brother Alvaro.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Lang, and thank you so much for having us today on your show. Good afternoon, Bahamas. My name is Alvaro Thompson, and I'm the Director of Alumni Affairs here at UB. And we're so happy to be here today to tell everyone about our upcoming Alumni Hall of Fame Awards reception, which is scheduled for Saturday, February 25th at 7 p.m. at Crypto. I'm happy to be here and to tell everyone about the award show and what's coming up and what they can expect.
And how long have you been inducting folk into the Alumni Hall of Fame?
So we have actually been inducting our alumni into our Hall of Fame actually since 2001.
Okay.
Believe it or not. And many persons do not know this, but Bishop Neil Ellis, who just recently retired, he was our first Hall of Fame inductee.
I remember that. I think I remember that.
Oh, okay.
Well, I remember some significant announcement from the Alumni Association and about Bishop Ellis. That's what I remember. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So we've since Bishop Ellis, we've gone on to induct several persons. I think Larry Gibson would have been after him. Laura Pratt Charlton, Tanya McCartney, Bernice Wilkins, Keith Bell, Deputy Prime Minister Chester Cooper. So all of those would have been formally inducted. And so over the years, we've actually expanded to include our outstanding alumni, and we've now included it to include a lot more categories than just Hall of Fame. And I see some of this year's awardees are also here as well.
During the 40th anniversary, there was a
yes.
40 most outstanding alumni. Was that a part of the Alumni Association's dealings as well?
Yes. In conjunction with the university, yes. And so we would have expanded it to include our 40 outstanding, which of course you are one of them. And so we're so happy and proud of you. And and then once we became University of the Bahamas, the leadership of the University and Alumni Association, we wanted to expand it to capture more of our alums, because we have, as you know, we have so many.
I think we lost Alvaro for a moment. Troy Clark, the great leader of lead. And College of the Bahamas alumni. I believe you and I were walking on that campus around about the same time, bro.
Yes, we were, and I came back again and again. I guess I just love that campus.
I can understand it. But your own perspective on the college now, university, your time there, and now being an alumni and participating in these Hall of Fame activities.
I mean, it's just humbling. Honestly, it's just humbling to even be recognized and to be noticed for anything. I don't feel as though I did anything, but some folks felt as though I did some stuff, and I'm being recognized for the little stuff, and I'm just feeling that. But like I said, I'm just honored and I'm humbled that I was afforded this opportunity to be recognized.
And Madam Aurelia Pinda, you are also part of this great event.
Good afternoon. Yes, I am. I'm excited to be a part of this event, not only as an alumni awardee, but representing the Grand Bahama chapter of the Alumni Association as well. Sorry, can you hear me?
The lady run into me, MasterCard.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, as we speak for a bit with the Alumni Affairs Department at the University of the Bahamas. We've got Alvaro Thompson with us, and we've got some of the awardees of the Hall of Fame activities. Mr. Troy Clark himself is here. Madam Aurelia Pindoff out of Grand Bahamas, yeah. So Alvaro, y'all not trying to just acknowledge that only people from Nassau come to the University of Bahamas, former, but from across the country, including the campus there in Grand Bahama.
Yes, that's correct, Mr. Lang. And can you hear me?
I can hear you. We can hear you well. You good.
Awesome. Yes, that's correct. Yes, we want to acknowledge and celebrate all of our alums that have done great accomplishments all over the Bahamas and that live and work all over the Bahamas. You know, this year we actually have three awardees that are based or from Grand Bahama. Aurelia is one of them. And of course, Troy Clark is based also in Grand Bahama. And our third awardee, Miss Ariana Joy Roberts, she's also a Grand Bahamian. And so, yes, we have three awardees from Grand Bahama this year.
And I hear Mr. Clark trying to be far too modest about his life when, you know, we who are alumni become the greatest testimony to the impact of the university, the college, in terms of what it produces. That's what people don't tell. I mean, I'm not saying Troy doesn't realize that, but I keep telling students that you become the witness of what a institution produces, right? And so Troy goes on to be in the defense force and then to lead these magnificent efforts to try to bring some reform to men whose lives may have taken a turn that they didn't quite expect. And that's a great work that he's doing. And I'm not as familiar with Aurelia's background, but maybe you can tell us, Mom, so we can know, you know, what you've been up to since the College of the Bahamas / UB days.
I call myself a true UB Northerner. I started here. I went to College of the Bahamas in 2009.
Okay.
And I took up the business management degree here. I wanted to stay in Grand Bahama, so that was my main thing.
Wow.
So I stayed here. I completed my degree in Grand Bahama and graduated in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And right after that, they took me on and I started working in the administration office at, well, then the College of the Bahamas, now UB North Campus.
Wow.
And now at this point, I've been active in the Grand Bahama chapter of the Alumni Association since its inception, at least the last recorded inception. And I am the current sitting president for the Grand Bahama chapter.
Wow. So if they didn't do a good job training you, they'd have a problem because
yes, sir. I'm proud that we try to keep our people in house, you know, try to make sure that the graduates of UB are given, you know, first preference. You know, we try to boost our alumni.
Wow, nice.
And that's a big thing.
Okay, wonderful. So, Alvaro, tell us what activities are planned and when are they?
Oh, yes. So the upcoming awards reception is actually an extension of our homecoming activities, which would have been held late last fall. Mm-hmm. And so this is just an extension of it, actually the last event. And so it is scheduled to be, it will be held on Saturday, February 25th at Crypto Isles, formerly the old Luciano's on East Bay Street.
Mm-hmm.
And tickets are actually on sale now and they can be purchased at Chapter One Bookstore and the cost is $75.
Okay, all right, so we got 1,375,206,000 alumni out there so they could make themselves available to the tickets.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Lang. And just wanted to say that this is one of the major fundraisers, one of several fundraisers for the university. And so all funds raised and all proceeds will go towards the university's annual fund, which plays a pivotal role in not only supporting our students, but also it goes into its greatest needs fund. There's any repairs that may be needed on campus or maybe our athletics department may need some equipment or travel expense. It goes to cover all those things that fall outside of the university's budget.
I am unable to make the function this time around, but I'm going to buy two tickets and I'm going to give them away to two alumni today.
Oh, thank you so much, Mr. Lang.
By way of the first two who text me. Who text me on four? You got to be an alumni now. If you are not an alumni of the university, former College of the Bahamas, you're not going to qualify. But if you are an alumni and you're listening, and the first two who text me on WhatsApp 4393043, that's 4393043, you're gonna get those tickets. So please, Brother Thompson, reserve those tickets for me.
And, yes.
And make sure you collect from me, please.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Lang.
Yes, sir. I didn't get my two. I didn't get, but you can still text me if you want, but the tickets are gone now.
Yes. Thank you so much.
No, man, I love it. You know, we wanna give back to that place that has given us so much. And you know, I'm so delighted to be able to do that. So anything else we need to know, Brother Clark, Madam Pinder, Brother Thompson?
Well, I just want to let the Bahamian public know that the University of Bahamas, which was our first choice of education, higher education, is a superior institute. And when I say superior, it matches any other university in the Caribbean, North America, And my experience was a dynamic experience because, you know, the first time I was at the College of the Bahamas, I would have served as COBA's president. And Keith Bell was my treasurer. He actually ran against me, but I say, you know, civilian police could beat no military man. And so I beat his pants off. But, you know, that was the best decision to appoint him as my treasurer. He and I ended up receiving the Life of Key Award and also a student award for Ministry of Youth. And so he actually became one of my eldest son's godfather. And so we cooked up a relationship like that. And so I had many experience, and I know the trials and the tribulations. And then graduating the second time from College of Bahamas was a valuable one. That's where I even got smarter. I graduated with distinction the second time. And so I am just elated. It gave me the foundation on what I'm working with now, running a nonprofit, a community correctional and training organization. The College of Bahamas gave me that educational foundation. It gave me that leadership foundation because I participated in clubs, I participated in student government, and it gave me that awareness to help my fellow Bahamians. And I am continuously doing that as we speak.
All right.
I also want to piggyback off of that and say, you know, I greatly attribute the University of the Bahamas to helping me pave my path towards where I am today and where I plan to become in the future. Having an institution on the island that provides us top-notch education is invaluable. And I want to remind alumni that, you know, when the university calls and during their phone-a-thon and asks about giving back, it's not that they're looking for handouts or not looking for money for, you know, the university. It's looking for how you can give back to help the future. We want to help the future students, the future alumni, the future contributors to the Bahamas. And every university always reaches out to their alumni about, you know, giving back every year. And it's through these donations that we can achieve greater goals and improving the services and the facilities that would help the future generations of those who pass through the halls of the university. The main things that I'm focusing on, especially through the Alumni Association at UB North, you know, we're still trying to rebuild a new campus. So that is one of the biggest things we're trying to raise monies for now. So please remember the university that gave you a degree at the fraction of a cost that you would have had to pay if you went to university abroad. Remember that you have students still in the school today that are looking for bigger and better.
Well, I can tell you some people in advance of that is supporting what you're saying. Says, good afternoon. I'm one of the alumni who was honored. I would love to donate, provide the information, please, Brother Thompson.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much, Mr. Lang. And thank you, Bahamas. Yeah, so tickets can be purchased at Chapter One Bookstore. But if persons want to donate to the university or to any one of our schools, they can, of course, contact me. My phone number is 430-0333. Or they can email me at Elvardo, elvardo.thompson@ub.edu. And I'll be happy to talk about ways that you can give to the university and to UB. Just want to say just briefly that here at UB, we are very, very big on establishing traditions. And so the Hall of Fame and Outstanding Alumni Awards is one of our major traditions that we want to keep on going. As we mentioned before, with the Hall of Fame, with the 40 Outstanding, and now the Alumni Awards. So please, Bahamas, please support us and continue to, just support the university and all of its activities.
Okay, so I have one more ticket to give out because You know, one of your great alumni is Candia Dames, and she actually was one of those who texted. Yes.
She was only texting to see if she could win. So, so somebody else texts in, then we have another ticket now. And so what I'm going to have to do, Brother Thompson, is to give you the names of those persons so that they can then, you can contact them so they can get the tickets and you and I will settle.
Okay, thank you, sir.
All right. So thank you very much for joining us. And anytime you have anything that you need to get out there, we're happy to help. Troy, did you want to say something?
Yes. What I just want to just piggyback on what Elvado was saying, it is important for us as alumni to actually give back to an institute that gave us a footing. And with them, so many alumni that passed through the halls of the University of the Bahamas, the College of the Bahamas, there's no reason why the University of the Bahamas cannot meet its budget, because it gave us, I would like to say, even the C and B students, we became A and A plus students when we went abroad. So it's important for us to give back financially and even any other kind of way we can give back to the halls of the University of the Bahamas. So I would encourage my fellow alumni to actually give back financially to this university, because it will keep on giving and growing once you give.
So glad that you could join us, and we'll talk to you again next time. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're listening to See Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody.
Whether your business is in-store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in 76 in Freeport, or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. So glad you could join us. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mom listens to the show. You can catch us on BTC Flow, channel 612.
There are, let's be sure, there are good things happening. Tourist flows are great, both in terms of stopover and in terms of cruise visitors. So tourism is doing well. The financial services sector, stable, not rocked to distraction by recent events. I am told by sources I trust that some good things are pending for Grand Bahama. There are some government ministries and departments that have projects going on that are meaningful, whether it is the Ministry of Education. We would have seen some announcements along those lines.
A special message from
involving teachers. We, you know, the Ministry of Youth, even though in the scheme of things, in terms of all the noise that gets made, continues to do work in its programs, reaching out to young people, whether it's Junior Achievement or Fresh Start or sporting programs and the like. So those are continuing, and cultural areas, things continue to happen. And so there are positive things. There are investments being made in the country. There's not an explosion that we can look at right now, but there are investments being made in the country. And so the Bahamas continues on a reasonable recovery path. So anyone who suggests that there are not positive things happening in the country would be overlooking, I think, clear evidence of the same. And this isn't true because the Davis administration is in office. This is true. This has been true throughout the course of administrations. At any given time, some positive things are going on. As a matter of fact, in 2021, the country grew by about 14%. Its recovery was on a 14% growth path. That is phenomenal. Phenomenal. And this is a growth path that was on prior months. So this wasn't because the government changed, because the government changed in September. There is not a possible chance on planet Earth that you have a 14% growth that took place all in 3 months of a year. not close to possible. So the country was on a rigorous growth path by the time the government changed. And it continued on a growth path, not as robust and expectantly so, not as robust, but a growth path nonetheless, and continues on that recovery path, even though at a predictably slower pace. So good things have been happening and are happening in the country. But let's be sure. There are an abundance of significant issues affecting this country, an abundance of very serious issues affecting the country, very serious issues. Anyone who wants to say, oh, the press only point out what's wrong, what's bad, what's negative. Well, even if that is true, that doesn't dismiss the fact that whatever they're pointing out are issues happening in the country. The Princess Margaret Hospital, as an example, and its challenges, significant issues, but not to be undone is what is happening at the Rand Memorial Hospital, because I can tell you from personal experience, it remains stressed and strained by the circumstances, physical and otherwise, at that hospital. So the public health system of the country is under enormous pressure. It is really, really serious, okay? The crime situation is challenging, without question. It's not getting better, it's getting worse, right? Unfortunately, right? And it's a serious matter.
not merely because it is impacting the people who are affected by the crime, but it impacts the psyche of the entire nation and their sense of security and safety in it, and those people who might want to come to us to visit, right? The immigration issue born of the challenges in Haiti, again, continues to be a very serious issue in the country. I'm not going to debate whether it's a crisis or not a crisis, but it's a serious issue, right? The blacklisting continues to be as an ever-present concern for our financial services sector. There are concerns about Grand Bahama and its continuing lackluster performance, notwithstanding it is seeing some uptick in economic activity, but it is still in a lackluster situation. And now some are calling, like Mr. Crean, calling for the Port Authority and the Hutchison Group to sell out if they can't make things better, right? So there are lots of pressing issues. NIB remains an issue. Bahamas Power and Light remains an issue. The infrastructure of the country, the roads and the like, remain an issue in the country. Bay Street remains an issue in the country insofar as its appearance and upkeep is concerned. So there are an abundance of continuing issues in the country today. So I want to say a few things about this. We are a country of human beings. And human beings in and of themselves have issues, right? We come by physical issues of illness and accidents and injury and stuff. We have issues in terms of our mental capacity operations from time to time, and that brings us into learning challenges and behavioral challenges and so forth. We come into relationship issues that bring us into conflict with each other at the level of the family, at the level of the community, at the level of the level of work and so forth. And so we come into issues that way. We come into confrontations over the best way to proceed on something. So sometimes the union is upset with the government upset with the union upset with the employer upset with the unions, employee upset with the employer upset with the employee. Because we are a country of human beings and we are going to have issues. The things that we have as physical buildings and structures in our country are going to be subject sometimes to deterioration. They're going to be subject to destruction. They're going to be subject to injury, even in and of themselves. And so we as a part of a human society, challenges and problems are endemic. They are going to exist. They are going sometimes to be prevalent. That's not at all the issue. What is the issue is not even that we all together solve our problems, because some problems are very difficult, intractable. The forces and factors that are at work in creating those problems are sometimes beyond our control, because they represent human conduct that we cannot control ourselves. So sometimes even the solution is not the problem. What is the problem is our attention, our focus, our strategy, and our effort in addressing the problem. And especially when a great deal of that problem solving falls on the leadership of a country, it is especially important that the perception is that there is attention, focus, strategy, and effort being applied to fixing the problem. I worked into a couple of, not one, a couple of establishments in the Bahamas recently, Nassau and in Freeport. And I went for service. Both places were busy. Both places. So I had to stand like everybody else on a long line to be served. I can tell you, I can only speak for myself. What do you perceive? That's entirely up to you. But I am a patient soul when it comes to waiting. My friends often ask me, how do you do that? And I say to them, I said, I gave up waiting a long time ago because wherever I find myself is a place I believe I need be or want be. Therefore, whatever is required to be there, I am prepared to do that because I chose to do so. If I didn't need to be there or I couldn't stand to be there, I would leave. So I'm not going to get all caught up and harassed and frustrated while I have to wait. But what I did observe was this. The lines were slow moving. And here's the thing. Behind the counter appeared to be making a diligent effort to get the line serviced, I believe the people who were complaining on the line would feel a lot better. But that was not what was happening. They were moving as if they didn't have a single urgency, a single imperative at all to get them lines moving. In some instances, managers walked up and down, observing the long line and making no effort to plug those cash registers with additional people to serve. So again, people were frustrated. In one establishment I went in, it was a restaurant, a franchise. I went to the franchise in one area, and I went to another of the same franchise in another area. The one in one area was stocked with employees, and they were rocking and rolling to get you out of there. But in the other one, it's the same franchise. It was like they must have had a sick out that day. Didn't appear to be enough staff, and the staff were moving like, man, listen, we on holiday and you all interrupted our holiday in order to get here. People, if they believe that you are focused on their needs, if you are organized for meeting that need and a diligent effort, will even understand if there is continuing inconvenience to themselves by what you are doing, especially if what you are seeking to get them is what they want. So I have a question for you, listeners to me in the Bahamas, United States, Canada, Europe, even Africa, where I've gotten calls, texts from. Given the abundance, given the serious challenges that we are faced with, given, I'm asking you, I'm going to make my comments a little later on, but I'm asking you, do you get the impression that there is focus, that there is attention, focus, prioritization, strategy, and effort being made to address those problems? So let me give you an example. Our Prime Minister, the Honorable Philip Brave Davis, at the Business Outlook said, the government's priorities are economy, education, and crime. So let's just take those three. And the question is, on the issue of economy, on the issue of education, on the issue of crime, do you get the impression that there is attention, there is a there's focus, there's prioritization, proper prioritization, strategy, and effort, diligent effort to address those problems? Do you get that impression? Is that your perception, seeing what you see, knowing what you know, hearing what you hear? Do you get, are you convinced that there is attention? See, attention says, I have put my vision, I have put my antennae in the direction of something. Focus said, not only is my attention there, but I have cast sufficient light upon it to magnify the issue so that I can see it with the greatest clarity. That's what focus is. And I am not distracted by any other thing. So focus says, you when you put something in focus, like if you put something under a microscope, you put it under the microscope. Sometimes as you put it under the microscope, even though it's a microscope, it's still fuzzy. You then have to turn the gadgets so that you can get that beam of light to go right on that thing and magnify it so that you can see it with greater clarity. That's focus. And then once you get the focus, you have to have a strategy, which is a set of decisions that you make to guide your effort toward dealing with the thing that you are dealing with. So do you get the impression that there's a set of decisions in relation to these things that have been made to address it? And then you ask, well, before that, there's the priority. Is crime a priority? Is education a priority? Is economy a priority? And do you see that it is being observed as such a priority? And then there is the effort, the execution, the actual work, the actual energy, the actual resources, the actual activity that is directed in, they're directed consistent with the strategy to actually get the problem solved. So I was thinking we just go right to the news break. Yes, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabar Lang, your host. We're going to take our news break. When we come back, hopefully we hear from you. What do you think? What do you say? You'll be back after this break.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Number of issues facing the country, the number of issues facing the country. You know, I hear people call these shows and they say, you know, it's the same old problems, the same old issues over and over and over and over again. Crime, immigration, this, that, and the next thing. And it's the same old, same old. But that's not true. As categories, maybe they are persistent challenges for sure. But the truth of the matter is they ebb and flow, they evolve, so they're not always the same issue or problem. They're not always, not always. I mean, like, again, as I said, like, when it comes to categories, I mean, yeah, they're going to, like really, honestly, right? On the issue of crime. If the factors that are impacting crime in the country have a historical tie to some attitudes, cultures, and ways about us, unless you can actually cap those attitudes, cultures, and ways, why would it not continue to be an issue in the country? But again, ebbing and flowing as it might, right? Now, you could take very drastic measures and do something about it. Like, you could institute a curfew. You could institute a rigid curfew. And I have no doubt it would have an impact on crime. But you've decided there are some liberty in order to achieve gains in certain areas. So therefore, the issues continue ebbing and flowing as they do. Right? If you have children who come to school ill-prepared to maximize the learning experience, if you have children who have learning deficiencies not detected by parent or school or community, you are going to have a persistence in poor performance of those students in your system. And unless and until that is detected and address adequately, then you will continue to have those issues, right? So it isn't true. Like, I, with respect, I heard someone say that we have not solved a single problem in this country. Not a single problem. We could say we solved, and that's not so. Does anybody remember the crack epidemic of the 80s? In the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? Do we still have a crack epidemic in the Bahamas? We do not. And it was a policy success story of the Bahamas. Does anybody remember the AIDS epidemic in the Bahamas? Surely do. Did not we solve that AIDS epidemic in the Bahamas? There was a time when we had an extraordinary infant mortality rate in the Bahamas. And we did, in fact, make great gains in that area and solve that problem, right? Where thousands and thousands and thousands of citizens would have to line up on one line or set of lines every year at the same time in order to get their car's license. Do we do that now? We do not. We solved that problem. There was a time in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas when one radio station, one television station provided the whole nation by mandate with the broadcasting services. And the public was presented with no options to get any information, saving and accept information that favored the government. Do we have that problem now? We do not. People can speak their minds, get information on a multitude of stations media in the country, right? We had a problem at one time with just one telephone company providing the whole nation with services, one company. They had no options, no choice. Do we have that problem now? We do not. We do not. We could go even further back. There was a time when if you wanted a tertiary education as a Bahamian, you couldn't get it until the College of the Bahamas was created. We don't have that problem now. There was a time in the Bahamas when as a black man or as a woman, you couldn't vote. We don't have that problem now. So no, it's not so to say we haven't solved any problems. And those are just some of them I'm talking about. Some of them. We solve the problem of broad education of the population of the country by providing public a broad-based public education system. We solve that problem. So we solve problems. We just have some other additional persistent problems in the country. And why they're not solved? Well, that's the question, isn't it? Why are they not solved? You see me hesitate. I am hesitating because I live in ticklish times. People can be sensitive. And in that sensitivity, they might not hear what you say. Okay. So I admire and I respect our leadership of the country. Hubert Minnis is not a leader, so I can't talk about him right now. Hubert Ingraham is not the leader, so I can't talk about him right now. Barry Christie is not the leader, so I can't talk about him right now. The Honorable Philip Braid Davis is our Prime Minister, and his team leads our country. And this is my observation. As I said, there are many good things happening in the country that they are leading on, whether it's carbon credit or education initiatives that I am aware of and other such, right? So here's my observation. An issue flares up, PMH, NIB, BPM. Typically, the Prime Minister swoops in and there's a visit, there's a talk about the issue. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. But I wonder, first of all, every area of government you see, every area of government, whether it's public health, public education, public infrastructure, immigration, every area of government has a minister. Every single one covers it. And if you see, this is for your learning, if there is an area of government not named in a ministerial portfolio, then that area falls to the Prime Minister. Do you understand? So if when the Prime Minister has named his cabinet and assigned the portfolios, if you woke up one morning and said, oh, but you didn't mention this area, then that area now falls under the Prime Minister. That's the way it works. So every area is covered by a minister. A minister attending to, aware of the happenings in his ministry, can do one of two things. If he or she believes that they are capable of addressing the issue, then they will do the necessary. If they believe it is an issue larger than their capacity to deal with, they are duty bound to bring that issue to the attention of the Prime Minister and yea to the attention of the cabinet. They are duty bound to do so. If a minister observes a matter not in her portfolio, but under the portfolio of a colleague, and since it is a matter the colleague may not be aware of, is duty bound to say to the colleague, listen, I was down there the other day, I was here the other day, observed something, you may want to have your folks take a look at that. If the colleague is obstinate, unattentive, unresponsive, ineffective, the minister who observed it can bring it to the attention of the Prime Minister and say, you know, Prime Minister, I just want you to know I did bring this to colleagues' attention, but it's been persisting for a while and nothing has changed. And I think you may want to take a look at said matter, because they are all in one boat. And when the hole gets bored in it, don't make no difference if the hole in the front or the back of the boat, you could be on the side without the hole, but you're going down with the boat. So, right? So you're duty bound to try and bring some resolution to the matter. So when I observed the Prime Minister's heart-wrenching press conference about the Princess Margaret Hospital, and he said, you know, you hear about it, but when you see it for yourself, and then the vow to fix it. Oh, I want you to think about this now, and I want the government, may have it or its operatives listen, to think about it, right? Think about it. If a prime minister visiting an area then can vow to fix what problem exists, it means the problem was fixable to begin with. Hello? Think about it. That the persistence of a problem was not because it was so intractable, but because apparently it required an attention and focus necessary to channel resources in the area of its resolution. There is a lesson here. There is a formula here. There is an opportunity in this. I tell you something. I know how the government of the Bahamas works, right? From experience. And you can think yourself a big, big man or a big, big woman in government, trying to go it alone, trying to manifest your skillfulness. But there are things in the government of the Bahamas, if not the finance and the prime minister, that them that seek to address it will drown as they do. There are times in the government of the Bahamas where It doesn't need to take the press. It doesn't need to take the public to cry wolf. It needs the minister to go to the prime minister and make the case as strong as necessary. When you do this, what happens is you end up ahead of the eight ball instead of behind it. Mr. Ingram used to, I told you this before, from time to time, Mr. Ingram would say, Shivago, he called me up. He said, Shivago, when last you been by the Sports Center? I was Minister of Youth, Sports and Culture then. He said, I was there a couple of weeks ago looking at their preparation to do the wall. He said, well, I think you could take a visit down there. I went, no work being done. No press discovering contract issued, no work being done. No one cried in the public, blah, blah, blah. He drove down there, as he typically did across the island on the weekends, saw what he saw, boom. You need to go get on this. So I did. One time I'm sitting down in the Ministry of Education, in my office in the Ministry of Education, I'm the Minister of State for Education. Ms. Dingham calls. Shivago, I'm downstairs. I want you to come go with me. I said, okay. In my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, he's down there with his aides and the car, the PM car and so forth. No, he's driving and carries me down to SC MacPherson. That's the one that's on Kemp Road, right? What are we going to look at? School is getting ready to open. And the air condition have issues down there, ain't fixed. And that's one of them schools with no windows. Go, we take a walk around, blah, blah, blah. Bang, time to do what we have to do because the air conditioner has to be fixed. No press, no media called and said, this is a problem. No parents crying foul, etc. He, driving around as he did, looking at the locations that we brought to cabinet and said were going to be addressed in this summer repair program, and boom, doctored it. And so now I am in the same breath as I'm commending him, criticizing me because I didn't do that. That was not the level of attention I paid. But that's why he often was ahead of the eight ball and not behind it. In especially persistent problems, especially problems that have critical value to health and life and limb, require an especial amount of attention and focus. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break. Through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm,
whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's Funeral Industry Partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have persistent and the chronic problems in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. But if you hear me well today, I want you to hear at least two things, especially from the example I gave of the Prime Minister visiting the hospital. Listen to me. Prime Minister said he'll fix it. He was heartbroken by what he saw. If a Prime Minister, having visited a place, vows to fix it, it means that what was wrong with it is fixable and has always and had always been fixable. And if a prime minister visiting the place brings added focus and attention and resources to bear on the problem, then that means that what was required to address the problem was added attention, focus, and resources to begin with. And so the question, so that's the first thing I want to point out, is that in maybe in many of our persistent problems, not the prime minister's attention now, because the prime minister can't, but the fact that the prime minister can vow to fix a thing and bring new energies to bear on it means that new energies needed to be brought to bear on it. Second thing I want you to hear me say is there's an opportunity here. There is an opportunity. Listen to me. Let me tell you something, right? Don't get mad with me, man. Don't get mad with me. Succeed. I want our prime minister to succeed. I want the government to succeed. Yes, it's a progressive liberal party government that is not the party that I have been a part of when I was in government, does not matter to me. If Prime Minister Davis has ridiculous success for the Bahamas, I am celebrating with everybody else. Michael Pintar is a very good friend of mine. I told you before, his daughter is my godchild. And if the Prime Minister's success challenges even his effort, I don't care. I really don't, because I want the country to succeed. Simultaneously, let me say, if Michael Pintard has ridiculous success performing as an opposition leader, I will celebrate with him too. And if that makes you think and want to make him the next Prime Minister of Bahamas, bless the Lord, thank you, Jesus, I'll celebrate with him too. Because I believe a successful government and a successful opposition could only help us have a successful Bahamas. Now, who can't take that? You got to do the next best thing for yourself, right? So I want the prime minister to succeed. There's an opportunity here. Not uncommon, and it's not unusual for elected officials to become I want to find the right word.
become less potent in their ability to address problems. You know why? Because they are all over the place. Their focus and attention is too divided. Too divided. You know, you go from here to there, to this, to that, to the next thing. Mind you, the reason we have ministers is so that there can be a concentrated attention and focus in a particular area to a set of things so that you can have the focus you need. But I'm sorry, even within ministries, if ministers are not careful, you could be all over the place. And trust me, oh, Lord, Shabbat Langa, open the books today. Should I open the books? I can keep the books closed. I can open it. I got to open the books. Let me open the books and tell you something. Very often, political parties in office start to cry, oh, this one working against us and that one working against us and causing us to not be able to do what we want to do. That is nonsense. That is nonsense. That can happen, that there can be people within the civil service whose political bias may make them less cooperative with a government. That is possible, but that is far from any significant challenge and problem in a government. Far from. If there was a time when that could be a really significant problem in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, that time would have been when Hubert Alexander Ingram assumed office from Sir Lyndon Pinckney, who had been in office for 25 years and practically hired every single person in the government. Y'all hear me? Y'all hear me? Practically every single civil servant, some 18,000 of them maybe, who had been hired by Sir Lyndon and his team over 25 years. So if you want to talk about loyalists, then you got loyalists there. But when Mr. Ingram came to office, that was not his problem. He did not find that kind of significant obstruction. Did he find people who had an issue and so forth? I found it, right? But no, it was no significant problem. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. I'll tell you what happens. This is what happens. So you go in office, you just got elected, and you get appointed a minister. And now you find yourself in this glorious new position. People are running around frantically. Yes, minister. Yes, minister. To do this and that for you and so. You know, and they ain't doing it because they love you. And they ain't doing it because they on your side. They're doing it largely because they want to be sure that you do not believe them to be against you. And that you are available to cooperate with them because they're going to need something to do. Many, many of them. Some of them, many do it just because they're professional. This is their job. This is their duty. You are the minister. They are to serve the ministry and the minister in terms of the policy objectives. So you go there and then, now this is the most critical point. This is the most critical point. I'm opening up the books. The most critical point. You go in there and you have no sense of purpose. You have no sense of clarity about the things that you are supposed to be about. You have no prioritization of those policies, programs, projects that you are supposed to attend to on behalf of the party you are a part of that got elected to government. You have no sense of that. You think by osmosis it will come to you and you will know what to do. You don't even pay attention. You don't even carry as a mandate and a manual your own party's platform, manifesto, or plan, because it is the thing that you promised to the public that you're supposed to do. And the government gave you responsibility for a part of the government. So those things in the party's document that are a part of your ministry are supposed to be your marching orders, but you're not paying attention to it. You have not, while you were on the campaign, you did run on with all the things the people in the Bahamas told you were wrong and that you were going to fix. But now that you're in office, you cannot sort back out from all the varying things about you so that you could come to some clarity about the things that affected them most in your area. So what happens is you then get, you start to have thrown at you all the business of government. Sign this, sign that, going to this meeting in Jamaica, going to that meeting in Venezuela, going to that meeting in Paris, and this thing and the next thing. Oh, you have this political function to go to. My constituency is having this. Oh, somebody just said something about you inside the newspaper. Boom, boom. And all these things are hitting you, and you are unable to gain focus because you never had a focus to begin with. And stuff start happening. And what happens is you become a reactor. Oh, this is the press. Got to jump on that. Oh, they protested against this. Got to jump on that. Why? Because you had no steady march with purpose toward a focus determined by yourselves as the thing to which you must give attention. In other words, if you're not careful, you become a glorified administrator of the affairs of state rather than the leader and director of the business of state. And then things just start happening. And they start happening in multiple fashion. And you know what then starts to happen? As the house gets a fire in multiple rooms, the leader has to be fireman in chief. That's what happens. And it is not a good situation for problem solving. But there's an opportunity here. There is an opportunity. And the opportunity requires focus. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Sarah, how are you doing?
Okay.
Are you sure? I notice you've been down lately.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know. I can't really put into words how I'm feeling, but I know I don't feel like myself sometimes. There's just so much going on in my life. School, friends, sports. Sometimes I worry about different things and feel stressed.
I'm glad you're talking to me. And it's okay to talk about your feeling. It's normal to feel changes depending upon what's going on around you.
Yeah?
Of course. All of us should be concerned with our mental health and our well-being. Good mental health means that we can cope with our everyday stresses. You can talk to me anytime when you feel like it.
Okay. Make sure to have these check and talks more often and take things from there.
Message is brought to you by PAHO WHO and the Ministry of Health and Wellness.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavar Gulang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon, where we've been talking about our many, many issues in the country and maybe a way we can approach some of the problem solving in those areas. Y'all been very quiet today, boy. Holy smoke. Very, very quiet. I get myself in trouble today. Y'all have been so quiet, man. What's going on? What's happening? You know, see, and the problems get solved. Even if we make progress in the problem and we don't all together solve the problem, because that is possible too. Many public policy issues don't come to a definitive resolve. They don't. You make progress, like, you know, maybe some of the roads get paved, maybe some of the areas in the hospital get to be more efficient. Maybe more students get access to education. Maybe more students start to perform better. Maybe more teachers become more satisfied. Not all, not every, because, you know, life is dynamic and the problems are complicated and complex. And so you don't all together get to solve things to absolute satisfaction. Even in our own personal lives, that does not happen. You know what I mean? You want to lose weight. Maybe you've decided you need to lose 50 pounds, but in the time frame that you had, you didn't lose 50 pounds, but you lost 20. You made progress. Not where you want to be, but you made progress. Maybe you decided you want to eat better, more vegetables and more fruits and more fiber in your diet, less fat and less sugar and all that kind of stuff. And maybe you don't stop altogether eating some of the things you know are not the healthiest, but you did make progress because you are eating more vegetables, you are eating more fruits, and your blood pressure is going down, right? You only may not be to the normal you want it to be yet, but you're making progress. But it is the results that bring us the benefits. The people don't benefit without results. When the hospital, God bless the multiple souls there who are doing that service that they are being for, the doctors and the nurses and the custodians and the administrators and all, God bless them. When they foul up, as we do, then they foul up, that hurts the patients and it hurts the doctors and the nurses, et cetera. So the institution gets hurt. When that's solved, the patients get the benefit, et cetera. When crime is solved, lives are saved. Dignities are saved. Properties are saved. But only when we bring the solution. So this can't be, listen to me. I'm saying it first to the public. We do not benefit from an appearance of a solution. We don't benefit from that. So why fool ourselves? We did that. An appearance is not what we want. Now I'm talking to the political leadership. You know this. People are not benefited by our positive public relations. Public relations has its place. It's necessary. In the conduct of most activities on planet Earth, public relations is necessary when you have to deal with the public. But it does not bring the solution. The solution is brought when you get deep into the issue and fix the broken thing. Tie up the loosed end. Mend that which is fractured. And that hours and darkness of simply hard work, smart work. That's reality.
It happens in the grind of things. That's when it happens. And when it happens, you don't even have to, your public relations might be there, but it'll be held by people who praise the benefit they are getting from the result. This text says, I'm usually quiet when I'm learning. Laugh out loud. I appreciate your candor about what happens in government. We don't know, so we make assumptions based on what we think should happen. I agree. I understand. That's why I'm here. God gave me this unique space and place. And so I appreciate that, you know. So I'm trying to help you know and see. So Mr. Lang, you hit many notes here. And when you go deep into government, inner workings, hierarchies in government get restless, uncomfortable, and worried that you would either find them wanting or show where they haven't been performing. I think this is why your show is very quiet today. Crickets? No, man, listen, seriously. If I'm in government, and I know some people in government, I know them, they are mature, and they are not petty, and their skins are not thin. They will hear where necessary. I don't mean they have to agree with me that I, you know, did make adjustments. That's all I'm saying. Make adjustments. I think there is a grand opportunity here, a grand opportunity. You know what? I'm saying this to the government. Forgive me. I will not say this to the government. I'm sorry. I wouldn't even be presumptuous enough to give advice to the government. I won't. But I'll say this. I know the public wants you to fix everything. So let me fix that. I know that the public wants the government to fix everything. Of course they do. Why wouldn't you? I mean, you're the public. It's your business. It's your life. It's your country. Of course you want every problem fixed. Truth of the matter is, every problem ain't gonna be fixed. We don't have the resources. We don't. Not to fix everything at once. We don't. And some of you who you're so brilliant and everything's so simple and all you have to do and all you're just okay, fine. Your life is brilliant. Bless the Lord. Everything in your life is fixed. Because you can fix everything in your life. You can't fix everything. So be focused on the 1, 2, 3 things that can make a difference, a huge difference. And get it done well. So if you're in a ministry, focus on the few things you can do, get them done, and get them done well, and fix them. And I was minister. I walked in the Ministry of Finance with five projects I was determined to try and get done. That's what I was determined to try and get done. And Ruth Miller was the financial secretary then, first, and then Eared Cunningham was the financial secretary after. And regularly when I would meet with them, I might say, you know, where is this project? Where's that project? They had other matters they wanted to discuss with me, but I was determined to be attentive to getting pushing forward these particular matters. One was the 24/7 e-government portal, which was done. My wife was the first person to get a renewed license on that portal. In 2011, 10 or 11, a a small business development, new small business development, small and medium-sized business development act, the SMEDA Act. The bill was drafted, not passed. A new licensing act. It was done 2010. That act was done. A new investment act. Bill drafted, no act, right? And so every day was my task to ask, where are we with this? Where are we with this? What do we need to do? What do we need to do with that? And I just had to try to ride and ride and ride until I could get those things done. Now, mind you, we had the end of every recession, so that threw some things off, but it didn't matter. I was able to persuade my colleagues, and we were able to get done a $10 million e-government portal. It's still being built upon today. Ms. Texas, good afternoon. Mr. Lang, very good show as always. I only want to say that the level of care at the hospital leaves much to be desired. I always say caring and love cannot be bottled, canned or boxed. You have to have it in you. Yes, you are striking many chords today that most do not want to hear. Thus, your lack of callers, nurse. So we have an opportunity, right? We have to abandon the game. What do I mean by that? Like, when you are in politics, you live for soothing of the public, the quickest soothing of the public. You want to quiet the unsettled voice. You want to cause the protesting marches to retreat. You want the media to see you as a darling. You want to be loved and praised by all. And so there are things in public relations, things in, you know, sleight of hand that you can do that can bring about some of that. Problem is, a quieted mass has not a problem fixed unless it's the solution to the problem that quieted the masses. A retreated protest does not mean a problem solved unless it was the solution of the problem that caused the retreat. It is only in the actual solving of the problem that we have achieved our mission. And how is a problem solved? How do we know that a problem is solved? When it does no longer call unnecessary attention to itself. When your fingers are healthy, you hardly know they're on your hand. You just use them. When your toes are healthy, you hardly know that they are on your feet. You just use them. You seldom take note of your nose, though you might see it every now and again in the mirror, but you let yourself come down with a cold and that nose is running. Now it's calling entirely unnecessary attention to itself. But it's doing so because it is begging for the attention that solves its problem. You buck that toe and cut it and slice it. And the ache and the pain and swelling will be there calling attention to that toe saying we need attention. But when it is healed, when it is fixed, you go back to a state of non-rest. That's when a problem is solved. When it no longer calls attention to itself. Not because people stop talking about it. Not because people take a sigh and say, I guess you're on it. When it has no further need of undue attention, then the problem is solved. And we have this opportunity today. The opportunity is led, not exclusively to, but led by the government for public matters of public affairs. Whether it's PNH, NIB, crime, immigration, Grand Bahama, whatever it is, education, the economy. When the problem is solved, you'll know. You've been listening to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us today. Listen, God bless you all. Have a great evening. And as he spares life, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a good evening.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Fidelity Bank Bahamas, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.